Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, welcome to this edition of the EAN Weekly Neurology Podcast. Today we are going to talk with Professor Muresanu, and I will be the moderator. So we'll start with presenting each other. I am a co-chair of the EAN Scientific Panel for Neurorehabilitation. I'm also research professor at the Institute of Medical Research, University of Belgrade, and involved in neurorehabilitation as well as neuromodulation and brain plasticity. Professor Muresanu is president of the European Federation of Neurorehabilitation Societies. He is also secretary general of the Academy for Multidisciplinary Neurotraumatology and the past president of the Romanian Society of Neurology. Also, Professor Muresanu is a professor of neurology and chairman of the Department of Neurosciences at the University Iuliu Hateganu in Cluj-Napoca in Romania. He's chairman of RoNeuro Institute for Neurological Research and Diagnostics and corresponding member of the Romanian Academy of Sciences. So he has quite a lot of achievements and a lot of experience. And today he is going to talk about neurorehabilitation of stroke impairments, post-stroke impairments. So we can start with the first question to introduce the subject. Professor Muresanu, what are the latest trends in the clinical care of stroke patients and how these advancements improved patient outcomes?
Thank you very much, dear Professor Filipovic. Thank you, Sasha, for this great introduction. And I believe this series of podcasts are at the very heart of the philosophy of EAN and will definitely support further educational developments. Talking about this very provocative question that you have addressed, I may say that the clinical care for stroke patients has undergone substantial changes over the past few years. And these improvements have greatly contributed to better patient outcomes. For instance, advancements in neurorehabilitation have created a complete revolution in stroke recovery. There is now a growing recognition that stroke recovery involves a holistic multidisciplinary approach that goes beyond just physical aspects. We now incorporate cognitive and psychological therapies tailored to each patient's unique circumstances and needs. Today, we are definitely contemplating the concept of comprehensive rehabilitation team. So the comprehensive rehabilitation team consists of a neurologist, of course, neurorehabilitation physician, rehabilitation nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, rehabilitation psychology. We are using a very large number of social workers. We rely a lot on recreational therapy, and of course, we take in consideration also aspects related to nutrition. Having said so, we really believe that this team will continue to change the measurable outcomes. And we are talking today about the effectiveness of team-based rehabilitation. And for sure, there is a fairly good evidence that organized interdisciplinary rehabilitation results in better outcomes in rehabilitation patients. Of course, most studies of effectiveness of team-based rehabilitation have been conducted in high-income countries, but the results of these studies are very much applicable in all parts of Europe, at least, and we can extrapolate this to the global approach. My prediction is that traditional rehabilitation, as currently practiced, will still be a good option at a reasonable horizon, let's talk about 2030, because all plans or our plans are going now, are pointing towards this horizon of time. But a legitimate question may occur, what are other strategies currently being investigated and which one hold most promise for the future? And we may discuss, I think, about these new approaches and the new technologies in a very exciting way. But still, we need to be cautious. We need to be sure that these new approaches are safe and effective at the same time. Some novel treatments that may be listed are virtual reality programs, motor imagery, mirror therapy, sensory stimulation. And we put a lot of hope in this emerging concept that hold definitely the most promising development. These are robotics, including portable wearable devices, brain stimulation, actually modulation, and Professor Filipovic is one of the high acclaimed specialists in delivering RTMS, TDCS, and other, let's say, techniques that will create a positive brain stimulation. We have to contemplate positively the brain-computer interface part. We are looking into cell transplantation techniques, and the whole cell transplantation area, it's still not so clear. We may even define it as being unclear, and there are no clear recommendations in this respect, but research, it's going more and more into this direction, exploring eventually new horizons. Of course, pharmacological support, it's a very important part, and we'll come back to this. As by our efforts, our NeuroRehab panel in EAN, together with the European Federation of Neurorehabilitation, we developed 2 years ago an important guideline regarding pharmacological intervention in early NeuroRehab. And based on that, we defined that at least two categories of molecules have been identified as being effective for stimulation of NeuroRehab and plasticity. This is cerebrolizing 30 milliliters per day and citalopram 20 milligrams per day. And this was an important breakthrough based on the fact that so far we have a plethora of information, some of them divergently talking about one aspect or another. I would like to also to recall the idea of remote rehabilitation, including tele-rehabilitation, which is also an important aspect. Coming back to brain-computer interface, primary goal of brain-computer interface is to improve, to restore communication, to improve motor function. And if we talk about neurological conditions that may benefit from this brain-computer interface approach, we may mention locked-in syndrome, high cervical spinal cord injury, ALS, severe quadriplegic cerebral palsy, and there are some other conditions, but these are the main conditions that are eligible for that. Electric and magnetic signals to control brain-computer interface systems are related to different type of approaches and technologies. We may use intracortical electrodes, electrocorticography, electroencephalography, or magnetoencephalography. And the essence of brain-computer interface is that we have sensors. We detect signals from the brain, usually while imagining a task, for example, measuring EEG desynchronization while imagining a motor task, for example. Then the signal is processed and is decoded to the intended movement. And then we use the decoded movement to plan and generate a movement in the patient's own body or on an external effector such as a computer, tablet, or robotic hand. Remote rehabilitation strategies are also important, as I mentioned, complex internet-based training programs, remote telephone or video system, this is also explored now in small trials. Smartphones are very common and can improve telecommunication between medical professionals, but also with the patients, including text messaging and variable sensor can recognize different activity patterns of the patient. Everything is based at the end of the day on neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to recognize itself and to reorganize circuits and creating new neuronal connections. And this is now at the forefront of stroke rehabilitation, making it possible for patients. And this is the hope to regain function. And I believe the future will bring exciting developments. So in brief, Sasha, this is what I would mention in the field, in this very complex field of stroke recovery as being now in the forefront.
Thank you, Dafin. You made quite a comprehensive yet short overview of all these areas. Actually, each of them can have independent podcasts. But okay, it was, I hope, informative enough to provoke interest in listeners. Let's go now to another question. How does evidence creation, including efficacy, such as evidence-based medicine, or effectiveness, such as real-world data or disease registers, and economic evaluations, how do they inform and improve post-stroke neurorehabilitation practices?
This is an excellent question, Sasha. Excellent, because at the end of the day, the creation of evidence is crucial for improving stroke rehabilitation practices. Evidence-based medicine, it's our guiding principle, and we insist now to develop more and more evidence-based in the field of neuro rehab, because this evidence base dictates that we use or not use the best available evidence. We have to contemplate and to derive from rigorous research our decisions, to make informed decision about the patient care. And at this level, our group, I would mention this, has been continuously developed a series of randomized controlled trials targeting stroke. We have discussed this in our panel, and within our panel, we have been very active with some trials. And as you know very well, we have conducted very successful trials, particularly for pharmacological support. I would mention the CARS trial for motor rehab in stroke. We are now conducting the CODEC, which is a trial dedicated to cognition. ESCAS for language. We have the ENHANCE trial. So it's good that everybody will know that we are a very active group, and we are working not only on these trials, but with this great team that you are, let's say, coordinating now. We work together for the new guideline that we are planning. And in Budapest, we'll have the first meeting, the kickoff for the new guideline for motor stroke neurorehabilitation. And this is an important project dedicated to our development. And such a work must be placed in the perspective of improving neurorehab. And we are really proud to be able. Now, regarding real-world data and disease register, you know, these tools offer invaluable insights into the effectiveness of various treatments in actual clinical setting, which may sometimes differ from the control research environments. But we know that rehab is a very personalized field, and we need real-world data. And these sources of data are crucial in refining our understanding of which treatment works best for whom. And that is important based on the personalized approach. And conducting high quality observation and studies is very important. And I think this will give us a better perspective And this complement findings from randomized controlled trials and inform clinical practice and health policies. Now, the last pillar, I would say, dedicated to economic evaluation, it's important. And these evaluations, they help us to prioritize interventions and not only improve patient outcomes, but also offer the best value for money. We are living in an economical world, so therefore this is an important point. This is crucial, especially given the increasing economic burden of stroke on health budgets globally. It is a complex balancing act, but one that is crucial for sustainable and effective stroke care. In our department, over the last 5 years, we have been developing a team that is capable of conducting cost-effectiveness research based on the field's gold standards, allowing us to inform critical decisions regarding resource allocation in our healthcare system. So I believe this is an important step, and it's not only a theoretical part. We are doing this. And if you remember, at the World Congress of Neurology last year in Vienna, we had a special session dedicated to our evidence data that we have developed in the field of pharmacoeconomics.
Thank you, Dafin. Yes, it's an important issue here is that actually neurorehabilitation is an interesting position that is at the interface between evidence-based medicine requirements and the personalized medicine requirements, because you need evidence-based approach in order to get proper scientific support from four different diagnostic and treatment practices and approaches. But on the other hand, conditions and situations in which neurorehabilitation is practiced requires very much of personalization, and this is difficult to actually combine. So it's much harder to conduct evidence-based or randomized controlled trial in neurorehabilitation than in some other disciplines sometimes. So this is a very complex question and complex issue. But now another important question for the whole field and the neurology in general, but for neurorehabilitation in particular, is how have health policy and advocacy initiatives like the Stroke Action Plan for Europe impacted post-stroke care?
Yes, you tackle this important topic, and you touch upon a very delicate aspect. And definitely, health policy and advocacy initiatives play a pivotal role in shaping post-stroke care practices and outcomes. That is completely true. And you mentioned the Stroke Action Plan for Europe. This is a complex program developed by European Stroke Organization. This has set clear ambitious targets for improving stroke care across the continent. For example, we aim that by 2030 we'll treat 90% of the patients in the frame of a stroke unit, and we'll reduce by absolutely numbers the numbers of stroke by 10%. These are very ambitious targets, we know. Similarly to this strategy, the Romanian National Strategy for Cardiovascular and Cerebrovascular Diseases, with which I have been closely involved, it's another commendable initiative. So we already endorse, the Minister of Health of Romania endorsed, as you know, because you participated recently in our Congress, he endorsed the European Stroke Action Plan. And this is an important example that practically at the level of governments, we have to be committed for this important developments. All countries, regardless of level of development, face limited public resources in the health field, where society's expectations of medical services are increasing, actually. So WHO position on addressing this reality is very firm. No government has the resources to provide universal coverage with quality health services, and this is very difficult. More money is needed for health, this is clear, but at the same time, there is a need for careful and committed prioritization of services, drugs, and medical devices that often are not available for absolutely everybody. And we need to offer the best results in relation to their cost and available resources. And we need also to tailor good public policies with emphasis on performance, transparency, and predictability. Such strategies create a structure and, a perspective for our healthcare system and a coordinated approach to stroke care that spans prevention, treatment, rehabilitation, and support all types of services. They stress also the importance of health equity and access to high quality care for all stroke patients, regardless of their socioeconomic status and location. Of course, these initiatives not only set the standards for optimal stroke care, but also drive the research agenda, helping identifying gaps in our knowledge and also to prioritize areas for further research. And I think further research is needed. And we mentioned nicely a few days ago that, for example, for neuromodulation, we need further research and development in order to clarify some of very positive aspects that have been stressed. And also for pharmacological intervention, we need to refine a little bit further results. You know, all these aspects, they play a crucial role in supporting continuous improvement in stroke care practices and ultimately for a better patient outcome. So I believe that this is an important part, and we have to work together with all our organization, like EN is doing in cooperation with EFNR, in cooperation with ISO. And maybe in this ensemble, we may deliver, successful results in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. And these are my thoughts related to this aspect.
Thank you, Dafin. This was quite, again, informative and comprehensive. I just wanted to stress that this brain health is becoming increasingly important issue in European policy and is planned to get more weight and support in near future. And this is another reason why this various advocacy initiatives are important, why all these advocacy initiatives are important and actually will have to increase to draw attention of the general public and policymakers in general about the issues of brain health and need for research and for the proper services. Anyway, I think that we covered quite a lot of subjects within the field of neurorehabilitation, and you, Dafin, were the best possible person to give an overview, given your involvement in all these aspects over the years through EAN, through EFNR and other organizations. So I would like to thank you.
Thank you very much, dear Sasha. I think you have done a great work. We are a nice team. We are a good team, and hopefully together we'll be able to go further in this exciting field. Thank you for your continuous support.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.